It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We've spent the last hour talking about vacant and abandoned properties and urban blight in the Pittsburgh region. We've talked to local housing and policy advocates and traveled to neighborhoods where grassroots organizers are transforming their vacant land into usable green spaces. Now we're going to take a look at a successful land banking model implemented in the Cleveland area. Since 2009, the Cuyahoga Land Bank has been buying and selling delinquent and abandoned properties so efficiently that they now bring in about 100 a month. Here by phone from Cleveland to tell us about how this was made possible is Gus Frangos. He's the president and general counsel of the Cuyahoga Land Bank, who was the primary drafter of the bills which helped make land banking possible. He's also a former Cleveland City Councilman and magistrate judge. Gus Frangos, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good morning, Paul.
Let's begin by talking about the Cuyahoga Land Bank. What was going on in Ohio at the time that you felt it was necessary to organize this kind of operation?
At the time, in 2008, we were in the midst of the foreclosure crisis. Many believe that Cuyahoga County, and particularly a couple of neighborhoods in Cleveland, were the epicenter of that crisis, where there was just hundreds and hundreds of foreclosures going on, and vacancy and abandonment was, you know, happening like at breakneck speed. And so this was the setting that resulted in a group of people getting together and saying, you know, we have done some tax foreclosure reform, but we really need to juice that up a bit more, and especially we need a vehicle. We need an aggressive vehicle to address an aggressive problem, and hence the legislation that led to the Cuyahoga Land Bank.
And you were the primary drafter of the bills in 2006. Explain what's in the legislation and how it led to the creation of the land bank.
The legislation essentially has three elements. I like to refer to it as the three engines of Ohio's laws. And the first is that it is indeed a separate nonprofit corporation, and many of the land banks are, they're either quasi governmental, many of them are governmental, but we felt that oftentimes what is good about government is also bad about government. Simply because that's not a bad thing. It's just that the shackles that come with being in government and the time and the bureaucracy that it takes to transact a property is often counterproductive. So the first thing that we decided to do was to create a government purpose organization. Certainly we were created by the county. The county government created us, but they created us in a way that allowed us to be entirely a separate private nonprofit corporation. The significance of that is that we can buy and sell and trade and transact and lend and do pretty much anything that a for-profit corporation can do in the same way that a for-profit corporation does it. So that was the first item that needed to be embedded. What kind of entity are we going to have? The second one was to really go in and do major surgery on the tax foreclosure laws, because most of the land banks throughout the country that are now up and running and trying to address this problem, oftentimes their foreclosure laws are structural impediments to being able to get these properties. And there's a whole explanation I can give as to why that is with tax foreclosure. But tax foreclosure not only needed to be made quick and fast, but it needed to be done in a way that the land bank could interpose itself in front of speculators. So hence, all that is to say is the great feature of Cuyahoga, the Ohio model, is that when a vacant and abandoned property goes to tax foreclosure, after there's a decree of foreclosure, there is no longer a share of sale that exposes the property to every speculator and then ultimately gets the property back into same cycle of abandonment. Instead, that property now goes directly to the land bank. So now this land bank, and we don't pay for that property. The taxes are abated, and it's truly an opportunity to try to reset the little tiny pro forma on that one property. So that's the second engine. And the third engine is you can have all these enablements and all these wonderful transactability provisions in the law, but if you don't have any money, then it's a paper tiger. And so, you know, the what we recognized at that time was is that as much as everybody wanted to deal with the problem, nobody could commit tax dollars to it. Nobody wanted to take what was coming to them in terms of their levied or their voted taxes as a taxing district and contribute to this. So what we came up with was a simplistic concept, and not so simple in writing it, but simplistic in the sense that we now take a percentage of the penalty and interest on collected delinquent taxes. So what that simply means is that in a county like ours that has large, you know, a fairly large tax base, when a property goes delinquent, when that property delinquency is paid, it typically comes in with not only the tax, but the penalty and the interest on that. It is that the land bank, that penalty and interest gets directed, a portion of it gets directed to our land bank. So in this way, we can look at all of our taxing districts in Cuyahoga County. I think there's like 104 or 3 of them. We can look at them in the eye and say with a straight face and very deliberately that we are not taking one red cent of actual tax dollars, you know, the principal tax dollar in any taxing district. It is this penalty and interest that is being redirected. And so that that took some explaining, but in the end, that was palatable to everybody's credit here in Cuyahoga County and, more importantly, the state legislature. That was viewed as a means for everyone to participate to try to deal with this, you know, inner city and inner ring city problem, which had now begun to manifest itself in the outer ring suburbs. And so hence everybody was on board.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Gus Frangos. He's the president and general counsel of the Cuyahoga Land Bank. What are some of the challenges that you have come across during your 6 years in operation?
I guess the challenges continue to just be the magnitude of the problem, because although we're seeing improvement, we're seeing some neighborhoods starting to get a little bit better. There are some econometric studies that were done that show that we are making an impact. It's just the magnitude of the problem. What happened in 2008, you'd like to be like Dorothy and click your heels and say, okay, in 3 years we're going to be done with this and be able to do something else. But this is going to be, you know, another problem that we deal with for another decade. But I would submit that that is a good thing, because typically, you know, the interventions that are just gimmicks, you know, they come and they last, and then 3 or 4 or 5 decades later, the problem persists, and you just got a gradual line down. This is doing the true root canal that needs to be done. You know, land banking takes on that role, and we will see improvement as a result of the interventions of land banking.
Allegheny County and Cuyahoga County have gone through similar demographic shifts in the past, but Pittsburgh only adopted land banking legislation last year. Why do you think cities like Pittsburgh have taken longer to turn to this, and what recommendations would you give to legislators working through the process here?
I do think it starts with legislation, because the converse of what I said, communicating and speaking with people and all that, that's great, and you can have a tremendous amount of goodwill. But if you don't have the correct model, if you don't have the correct legislation, it's harder. And that's not to say that Allegheny and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania doesn't have the right legislation. It's just that many of the statutes, I would characterize them as, you know, retail statutes. You know, they are put in place so that a corporation can be set up, and it's called the land bank, and it has, you know, all the enablements, but the statutes don't get really into the weeds on engine number 2 and 3 that I discussed, you know, the real foreclosure reform that needs to take place, and then the funding. If you don't do that, I mean, it's just axiomatic, you know. I mean, it's common sense. It's going to be hard to do what it is that the Cuyahoga Land Bank does. If I didn't have money coming in, I wouldn't be able to deal with 100 properties a month. So that has to be something that gets embedded into the legislation. And I've recommended, you know, at the annual conferences, several that I attend, that this some feature of this model take place, because that we do in Ohio, because all of the land banks, even the best ones, maybe they'll do 100 a year. You know what I mean? And it's hard. And I know that taxing districts don't want to give up their money, but this model or some offshoot of it is a good way to do it, because you can tell people that, look, we're not taking tax dollars now. We are taking the penalty and interest from tax dollars. So I think that's the critical question. That's the acid test there. Can you get item number 2 and 3 of those 3 engines I discussed addressed? If your foreclosures take 4 years to clear out, well, you know, that's not good. That property will decay for 4 years before somebody tries to do something with it.
The Pittsburgh region has over a dozen colleges and universities bringing in students from around the world who all need somewhere to live. Our mayor, Bill Peduto, has recently announced that he'd like Pittsburgh to prioritize taking in Syrian refugees. In Cuyahoga County, you've implemented a program called BRAIN that addresses some of these issues and helps these groups of people. Can you talk about that project and what you found?
Yes, we just started it, and really, it's an offshoot of our veterans program, our refugee program, and the things like sober living and stuff like that. But what it basically is that we bring the properties in, and we triage them, we create a spec, and try to incentivize people groups. You know, beyond just the typical CDC model, we try to incentivize people groups, in this case, students that are graduating, to stay in the area by trying to get them a home and finding ones that come from tax foreclosure or from our other pipelines. We bring properties in from Fannie Mae and HUD as well. But bringing them in and trying to find ones that don't need a ton of rehab. And when we get them, we're able to come out and we're able to get them fixed and making them available to students, so that when they still have to pay for it, that rehab, but it's a light rehab for a good renovation. And what the focus is that these kids will have a house with some equity in it in 3 years, not 15 years, not 20 years, not 30 years, and they'll be able to do it with a payment that's, you know, probably less than what the mortgage is. And so, you know, it's just our attempt at trying to find ways to deal with the surplus properties. So we do the same thing with veterans. We do the same thing with refugee organizations, disability organizations, and on. But the ones with the BRAIN program, we thought, you know, we do have a problem with brain drain in our county. And, you know, there's just one little arrow additional in the quiver that we try to put out there. And so CSU was a great partner. They were willing to do it. And so we just started that. And so we don't have we have 2 kids now that have participated in this, and so far they're happy.
Well, that's good to hear, and we'll certainly be monitoring the progress of that, because it's something that could conceivably work here in a city like Pittsburgh. Our guest has been Gus Frangos. He's the president and general counsel of the Cuyahoga Land Bank, who was the primary drafter of the bills which helped make land banking possible. He's also a former Cleveland City Councilman and magistrate judge. Gus Frangos, thank you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to today's edition of Essential Pittsburgh and our program about blight. If you missed any portion of the program, would like to check out all of the segments we did regarding the issue of blight in the Pittsburgh area, you can go to our website at wesa.fm. We have Katie Blackley's photos of our trips out into the community, to Homewood, and to the North Side. You can check out all of that, again, at our website, WESA.FM. Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, a special public forum, Equitable Education Funding, hosted by Kevin Gavin. That will be in this time slot tomorrow on 90.5 WESA. Until Monday, I'm Paul Guggenheimer saying thanks for listening and have a great weekend, everyone.